Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
In the Encyclopedia Britannica 1999 edition, if you turn to yellow journalism, it details William Randolph Hearst helping organize and stage propaganda for the Spanish-American War, the enactment of the Federal Reserve, and many other globalist imperial programs. There's only one other media group in history known for being more associated with the government and propaganda. That is, in history, still operating. George Orwell, of course, fashioning the character Winston off of himself in the Ministry of Truth in a fictional nightmare future dystopia, fashioned the Ministry of Truth off of the BBC, where black is white, up is down, left is right. And we are joined by Guy Smith, producer, director who made the primetime Sunday program 9/11 Conspiracies for the BBC. He'll be with us for the entire hour. Dylan Avery will be popping in, as well as Paul Joseph Watson from Sheffield, England. Guy Smith, I appreciate you coming on.
No, a pleasure, Alex. I don't know about yellow journalism, but I guess we just followed the evidence where it led us.
Oh, I was speaking of Hearst Publishing. Certainly, you're a journalist. You know about Hearst Publishing, right?
Certainly do.
And yeah, and Chertoff's cousin, the Homeland Security Director, telling me it wasn't a hit piece, and then it was. I was talking about a previous hit piece. Guy, you told me over the phone that it wasn't a hit piece, but you also laughed and said you don't believe the stuff we've put out. I mean, can you honestly say that this isn't an attempt at debunking?
Yeah, Alex, I really appreciate coming on your show, and I admire much of the work you do in talking about subjects that perhaps the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about. But we didn't set out to do a hit piece, as you call it. What we did is that we set out to investigate the evidence and to see where it led us. And if it turned out that some of the conspiracy theories were true, I would have gladly said that in the film. You know, we're not acting on behalf of any government agency or... You know,
BBC isn't government funded. Isn't funded and controlled by 10 Downing Street?
No, it's not actually. The BBC is funded by the public through a license fee system. It's a complicated system, which doesn't really operate. Doesn't have any similarity to anything that operates in the States. But basically, people who have a television in Britain have to pay a tax. They pay that tax to the government, and then the government hands it on to the BBC.
And just 2 years ago, they made the director of the BBC resign and apologizing for putting out pieces claiming that Blair knew about WMDs and other things. Now all totally admitted the BBC was right there.
Well, I mean, that's a whole different story. But, I mean, I can gladly talk about that if you like. But I guess the main thing is to talk about the program that we made last night and that you say is a hit piece. And I'm saying it's not a hit piece. What it's doing is investigating the conspiracy theories. And we did that in an objective and a balanced way. And we followed the evidence. We followed the trail. And we followed where the trail led us.
A balanced way. You had 11 debunkers. We've timed it out. You gave them at least three times more time than you gave the three 9/11 truthers.
Well, we talked to a lot of people on all sides of the debate. Yeah, that's certainly
it was
case.
Almost four to one the time you gave them. 4-1, is that balanced?
Yeah, but Alex, you know that you carry a lot more weight than any debunkers, and when you come on air, that you know you have a lot more impact than anybody who's an expert or anything like that. So you have
very
your say
condescending
in the film.
And sarcastic, and please. Please.
No, you had your say in the film, and you know many people will watch the program, and they can make up their own minds.
Why did you interview me for off and on for a week? I know it had to be over 20 hours of footage, and I was in there 3 minutes.
Well, it wasn't actually a week. I mean, we came to Dallas, and we met you on the Saturday.
You came to Dallas, interviewed me there, then you interviewed me in Austin in my studio, then the other studio. Off and on for a week, you were here.
No, it wasn't. It was over 2 days, actually. I mean, I can be absolutely quite certain about that. We interviewed you in Dallas, and then we interviewed you the next day in Austin.
Guy Smith, stay there. We're going to be right back on the other side of this break to walk through this. We appreciate...
year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands. My new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Guy Smith, producer, director for the BBC, put together a well-done visual piece, well-produced. Regardless, off and on for several days, they interviewed me. I would imagine it had to be 20-something hours of footage. So let me just go back. Let's be conservative and say it's 10 hours of footage. Why did you only use 3 minutes of me in there if it's so balanced?
I hate to disagree with you that we interviewed you for 10 hours or for 20 hours or over a week. I mean, we filmed an interview with you. You made some very cogent points, and you know, you're in the film. What's the complaint?
Well, I mean, wait a minute. I mean, you interviewed me for like 3 hours at the Grassy Knoll, and you followed us around and were taping off and on during a five-hour event at night. And the next day you interviewed me, you videotaped the two-hour radio show, then you interviewed me about 2 hours after. I talked to you constantly on the phone for weeks before that. But let's not digress. There's a lot of points to make here. My point is, are you denying that you had 11 debunkers and 3 9/11 truthers in the film? And are you denying that they had a lot more time than we did?
No, I'm not denying that. We interviewed three main conspiracy theorists: you, Dylan Avery, and Jim Fetzer. Your views represent many other people in America. I accept that, and likewise those of Dylan Avery and Jim Fetzer. And they had a good say in the program. We gave them a lot of attention and a lot of opportunity to voice their views in the program. And the program then went to investigate the claims that you and the other two guys are making. And that's what we did in the program.
Okay, I gave
if it
you.
Turned out that the, if it turned out that the trail that we, you know, that we followed led us to a different conclusion, we would have said that. All I can report is what we found out. And,
sure.
And in the end, people must make up their own view as to whether they want to believe us or they don't. And if they don't, I accept that too. You know, I'm not trying to force this down anybody's throat. I'm not trying to force anybody to accept what we're saying. I'm just saying, look, this is what we did. This is what
why didn't you have, say, Kevin Ryan of Underwriting Laboratories, their own internal report said that 1,800-degree jet fuel couldn't melt steel that doesn't melt, and it was molten. That's on record. We have the aerial photographs and the firefighters. It was molten 4 weeks later. How does 1,800 degrees melt steel that non-structural raw steel doesn't start melting till 2,554 degrees, structural hardened steel until 3,300, and those are numbers people can just pull up instantly on any engineering website. Why didn't you guys include that in your film?
Well, the reality of it is that we had 59 minutes, and, you know, frankly, we could have spent all day talking about just the Twin Towers. We covered a lot of ground in the program, everything from the hijackers arriving in America before the attacks through to how the government tried to, the CIA and the FBI, tried to cover up their mistakes after the attacks. So, you know, we only have 59 minutes, just as now we only have this 1 hour for this program. There's not everything we can talk about. So we decided to concentrate on some things more than others. Now, clearly, one can make a whole hour just discussing the melting point of steel and exactly what happened to the Twin Towers. But I guess the bottom line with the Twin Towers is, are you saying that they were demolished? Now, if you were, then one has to look at why that happened and how that happened. And we looked into that, and we came to the conclusion that the evidence just doesn't support that conspiracy
theory. Okay, let me stop you right there. Let me bring on Paul Watson from England, who's been writing articles. You may have even seen some concerning the piece that you did. You use a Nova simulation in the piece that has been completely debunked by David Ray Griffin and others. They claim there's no central steel columns. They claim it was a hollow shaft. Paul Watson, you want to comment on the Nova piece?
Well, yeah. Firstly, I would like to say that I actually counted 13 debunkers compared to so-called conspiracy theorists, so it was an even greater number. And I would ask Mr. Smith why, when we've had government officials, scientists, first responders, MI5 agents on this show talking about our side of the evidence, did he decide to give 10 minutes to a producer of a sci-fi show that went off the air 5 years ago?
Mr. Smith?
Yeah, we decided to talk to Frank Spotnitz because he had very many interesting things to say about conspiracy theories. It's as simple as that.
Basically, that it's a modern religion of delusionals. Now, in the Nova piece, it shows, Paul, you've measured it and timed it. Give him the exact seconds, and it comes out to about 55 seconds for the towers to fall, but in reality they fell in a little over 10 seconds. So even the Nova piece is false, Paul.
Well, that's right. If you take the conservative estimate and say the towers fell in 14 to 16 seconds, what we've got is Mr. Smith in the documentary near the beginning when he talks about controlled demolition. He uses a graphic animation from Nova, which is a PBS scientific documentary, which depicts the collapse of the Twin Towers at a rate of 6 floors per second, meaning that the total collapse of each tower would have taken around 66 seconds. So it's a patently false and misleading graphic to use. And my question is, you know, will there be a retraction of this graphic, which is blatantly false and misleading and only lends to the bias that was already decided on in dismissing questions about controlled demolition?
Mr. Smith?
That graphic wasn't misleading. I don't know, you're talking about it coming from Nova. It was actually made by the BBC, that graphic. It might
well, the point is it was used on Nova.
Program as well, I don't know. But the point is, if you're suggesting that the World Trade Center was demolished by explosives, then I would say, where is the cast iron evidence to back that up? And moreover,
okay, let me stop you. Let me stop you then.
Sure.
Craig Bartmer, who was in the news, on record, given citations, on the pile for 5 days, there when 7 collapsed, has reported, and I've got now over 15 firefighters and police coming on in the next week. We're lining them all up for one show. Hope you tune in. It'll be 3 hours of witnesses
that said we were told get back from 7, they were going to bring it down so it wouldn't damage other buildings, they were going to blow it up. We have CNN with two cops going, get back, 7's going to come down, get back, they're bringing it down. Okay, we clearly have this over and over again. In fact, right now, go ahead, let's first play the molten steel clip from New York TV. Here are firefighters talking about molten steel like a foundry, like lava. Here it is.
You'd get down below and you'd see molten steel.
Oh.
Molten steel running down the channel rails. Like you're in a foundry.
Yep.
Like lava.
Like lava. A volcano.
Okay, now let's play the next clip. And just in case he's never seen these or heard these, and the videos are up on the website, here's CNN with two cops saying, get back, they're going to bring it down, 7's coming down. They say it three times. Here it is, CNN.
Keep your eye on that building, it's coming down. Building, watch the blow up, move it back. All right, guys.
We are walking back in the building, about to blow up.
Okay, so we not only have that, and again, there's over 15 coming on the show. We've already had a bunch of them on. I've interviewed Bartmer for video for an upcoming film in New York. He can barely breathe. Now, he tried to be interviewed by you, and you didn't want to talk to him, and he said that he was there, and they said, get back, they're going to bring the building down. Now, you just heard clips. I'm asking you, why didn't you want to talk to a police officer?
Well, I don't know about that particular police officer, but
you met him. You met him. He was there. He went up in upstate New York to meet with you.
I guess he must have been one of the people who was at Dylan Avery's house. I think
yes, a police officer.
What you're referring to?
Yes.
Well, look, you know, we could spend all day talking about whether there was molten steel or whether it was something else in the basement of the World Trade Center. But what you have to do is to look at the bottom line theory. Now, if you're saying those twin towers were demolished, I have yet to understand why they were demolished and how they were demolished. All I can say is that the evidence that we've looked at just doesn't stack up. I mean, is it really plausible that people would have flown two planes into these twin towers and laced them with demolition charges?
We're not saying that. No, they were pre-placed. What about 7? No plane hit 7. The CIA, the FBI, Defense Intelligence, it was a giant intelligence building. It had the command center. FEMA claimed they were there the night before, then they tried to retract, then Giuliani, in congressional testimony, admitted they were running Tripod 2, a drill of an attack on the complex, so they'd already moved out the night before to the end of the pier.
But is it really plausible, do you think, that World Trade Center 7 would have been demolished, and 5 years later, nobody who was involved in planting those demolition charges wouldn't have spoken to their wife or girlfriend or come forward and admitted that they were part of that?
Hold on, let me finish. How did they have Tuskegee for 40-plus years killing black men with syphilis secret, the atomic soldiers, the ringworm children in Israel where they radiated 110,000, the Manhattan Project kept secret with over 100,000 people involved? Come on. The people who were involved in that in black ops know they'd be killed the minute they went public.
Well, I mean, yeah, you talk about the Manhattan Project, and that's a very interesting example. But it's something that's quite different, because here, remember, 3,000 American citizens died, or American and citizens from other countries as well, including Britain. So, you know, it's like you seem to think that we're trying to cover something up. You know, we're not covering anything up. All we're doing is looking at the evidence in an objective, dispassionate way and trying to test whether it stands up to
examination. Guy Smith, no modern steel building. And you can show some two-story thing in England or some two-story thing that's tar-roofed in Chicago. No modern steel building has ever fallen. Look at the Madrid, 100-foot white-hot flames, almost 2 days burning. No major steel members collapsed. It's scientific facts. Building 7 wasn't hit by a plane, had small fires, and symmetrically collapsed. You said, give us evidence. I just gave you the name of a police officer. I just played CNN where they're saying, get back. They're going to bring the building down. It's going to blow up. Now, what more? I mean, I could go on for hours with these clips, and you will not address it.
No, it's not that I'm not addressing it. I'm just saying that I don't believe that that evidence proves that there was a conspiracy to demolish World Trade Center 7. And it's something, you know, I accept that we're not going to agree on this, and that's fair enough. And I'm very happy to come on the program and talk about my view and say, look, this is what we've found out. If we had found evidence to show that it was demolished by explosives, you know, we would have put that in our film. We're not trying to cover anything up here. All I can say is that I don't believe the evidence that you're putting forward.
All right, stay there. I'd like to hear how you don't believe it and walk through things with Dylan Avery and Paul Joseph Watson on the other side.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that at the 29 Palms Marine Base located in California, a questionnaire was given to Marine stationed there? It discussed the United States military under UN command. Would the Marines accept this? The final statement to be answered, yes or no, was, I would fire upon American citizens who refuse or resist confiscation of firearms banned by the United States government. Is this what Americans want? Forced confiscation of guns? We'd like to help you understand how these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call for a one-year free subscription to Newswatch Magazine.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024 and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome back, Guy Smith. I appreciate him joining us, spending time with us today. BBC producer, director. Guy, I want to let Paul ask you questions. Dylan Avery asked a question first. We do appreciate your time. And in the next segment, it's a long 15-minute segment. This is just a quick 5-minute one. We'll let you run for a few minutes, and I'll shut up and hear what you have to say. But I'd like you to answer this question, because we've answered yours. I kept begging you, please let me cover Operation Northwoods, the official U.S. government plan to carry out 9/11 style attacks to blame it on a foreign enemy. I said Gulf of Tonkin was staged, now declassified, Operation Ajax in Iran. That's so important that there is a past MO. You know, people who try to debunk us always say, why would they do it? What would they gain? Trillions in oil, billions in opium, control, military contracts, domestic police state, just like Hitler burned his own Reichstag. You told me, no, Northwoods isn't going in here. It doesn't fit into it. It doesn't matter. Now, tell me why, if you made a film about the 9/11 truth movement, why you wouldn't cover the central issues of the history of government-sponsored terror and the history of plans to carry out terror against the American people. Will you please answer that question?
Yes, indeed, Alex. Operation Northwoods is fascinating, and from a historical point of view, it's a very interesting story. But I have yet to see any evidence that links Operation Northwood to what happened on 9/11. There's no doubt that the American government and other governments, no doubt the British government as well, has been involved in all sorts of operations in the past, false flag operations, as you call it.
Oh.
But I have no doubt. I mean, as you mentioned, the Gulf of Tonkin is a very interesting example. But I have no evidence, and I have yet to see any convincing theories that show that what happened with the proposal of Operation Northwoods was put into practice on 9/11.
Well, this is why it's important, Guy. Okay, and you make a valid point. This is why it's important. Let's say a 6'2" gray-haired man with a red birthmark on his left cheek is videotaped robbing a bank and pistol-whipping the clerk. And then the police run through a database of mug books, and they notice that a bank robber who fits that description got out of prison 6 months ago and lives in the area. And they go by his house, and they pull him over when he leaves, and he's got the cash in the trunk. If you got people that have done this before and plan to do this, my goodness, I think that's pretty darn important. What do you think?
Well, I think that Operation Northwoods was a very interesting subject. You know, it's something that was talked about more than 40 years ago, just because there was this plan more than 40 years ago, which, you know, I don't deny. You're absolutely right. It existed, although, of course, it wasn't actually adopted by the president.
Well, it was green-lighted, and Kennedy said no and then got his head blown off. And let me guess, you don't think the government was involved killing Kennedy, right?
Well, that's a whole other story. I don't know, to be honest, because I haven't investigated
The debunkers are losing because 92% of Americans in major polls know the truth now, Guy.
Yeah, well, I don't know about JFK, to be honest. But what I do know is that I haven't seen any evidence that links Operation Northwoods to what happened at 9/11. There's no doubt, as I said before, that there are lots of operations that have happened in the past that have been carried out by the American government and other governments, you know, that are very unsavory. But that doesn't mean to say that 9/11 was one of those operations, because I haven't seen the evidence. If you show me the evidence, you know, then I'll believe it.
It shows that they've planned this before and they've carried out operations before.
What it shows is that 40 years ago there were people who thought that things like this could be done and should be done.
And then in 64 it was done with Tonkin, and in 67 it was done with the Liberty, and similar things, Operation Gladio in Europe. But let's just go back.
That doesn't prove that the present occupants of the White House, and I'm not defending them anyway, I'm just saying I haven't seen the evidence.
Why were British SAS members last year caught dressed up like Arabs driving around shooting people with plastic explosives?
But let's just keep on Operation Northwoods for a moment.
Oh, yeah,
all
sure.
I'm saying is that just because there was this plan 40 years ago, it doesn't prove that the current occupants of the White House dusted it off and put it into practice in 2001.
Even though PNAC said we need a helpful Pearl Harbor event, and Brzezinski said we needed a Pearl Harbor event. By the way, Brzezinski said 2 weeks ago in congressional testimony that there may be a false flag attack blamed on Iran in this country.
Well, I think the PNAC report didn't say we should have a Pearl Harbor event.
It said it would help, minus that catalyzing event. And then Brzezinski said it would help.
I don't think it says actually it would help. I think what it says is that it wouldn't happen unless there was a Pearl Harbor.
Gee, we want to invade these countries. It won't happen unless this happens. We need to use this disaster for a new world order.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I guess people who disagree with what you're saying would say, if it really was then a plot, why would the PNAC report writers publish their report in advance and put it all over the internet?
Because they're arrogant. Stay there. I apologize to Paul and Dylan. We will go to you guys. You can have the floor and questions for Guy Smith on the other side. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us, Guy. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hey, Jane, how's it going?
Gosh, I'm not doing so well. Even though I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, my blood sugar is way out of control.
Oh, Jane, I'm sorry to hear that.
I have to monitor my blood sugar again. If there was only something natural I could take that would help control my blood sugar that really works.
Have you tried Sucralose?
For millions of Americans who can't keep their high blood sugar levels off their minds, there's Sucralose. Sucralose is the all-natural way to help keep your high blood sugar levels under control. For a limited time, you can get a free consultation from a Sucralose specialist. Call 1-800-99-HEALTHY. That's 1-800-99-HEALTHY. Or visit them on the web at MyBloodSugarBreakthrough.com. That's MyBloodSugarBreakthrough.com.
So, Jane, what do you think?
I'm going to call Sucralose to set up a free consultation right now.
Excellent, Jane. You'll be glad you did.
The disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, disease, and earthquakes in many places." We are living in this time of Earth's history. Many people are trying to understand the climactic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. 2 Peter says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, and you do well if you take heed. But first know this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." The Bible says, "We'd like you to receive this new offer, Packet B, the Unholy Alliance." These materials document the global leaders, political and religious, behind the scenes. You will receive information regarding America in prophecy, tyrants and wars, the New World Order, and much more. As always, these materials are shipped to you at no charge. Please call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715. And ask for Packet B.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients. Is earth-friendly and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton fields and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run him on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hickory said, said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire a musket, still we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept them coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. Go down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Welcome back. Our guest is Guy Smith, BBC producer, director. We appreciate him coming on and letting us go over the piece that he put out. And now I'd like to give Dylan Avery a chance to ask a few questions, and then, of course, Guy can ask questions of him or make statements if he'd like, and then Paul Watson to come back in. Dylan Avery, producer of Loose Change 1 and 2, that, by the way, we carry at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, where you can watch for free at Google Video, as well as my film Terror Storm. Let's go to Guy Smith. Dylan, do you have any questions or comments for him?
Yeah, my first one is, how can I drop out of something I never attended?
Sorry, I didn't get.
Well, your narrator referred to me as a self-professed dropout, indicating that I actually went to college and stopped attending, when in reality, I applied for Purchase College twice, and because the film program there is entirely selective, I was not selected. So, in all of your research, I found it interesting that you couldn't even get the facts about me right.
And, of course, that's been one of the rumors, is that you're this evil dropout. I mean, you know, so is Bill Gates and Rush Limbaugh and Dick Cheney, for that matter. But the point is that you'd mentioned earlier you thought that would be in the piece. Guy, you talk about he's a self-professed dropout, but you don't have video of Dylan saying he was a dropout because he never went to college.
I know Dylan didn't go to college. I guess the way we use the term dropout in English, I don't know about American, is somebody who doesn't go the conventional route. It doesn't mean literally that you dropped out of college, because I know that you...
Let me bring Paul Watson up. He's English, okay? Let's bring Paul Watson from Sheffield on. Paul, does dropout mean you never went to college?
No, dropout implies explicitly that you went to university and were not able to complete the course, ergo you dropped out. That's what it means in America, what it means in England.
Well, it can also mean that you drop out of a system or you drop out of society. It can mean lots
of
things.
Well, that's a new one on me.
Okay, listen, I am a college dropout, even though I had a 3.8 grade average because I didn't need it. Now, Steve Watson, that works in our research department, has a master's degree in political science and foreign affairs, so he thinks it's an inside job, too. Master's degree. Is it okay now?
No, I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from believing it's an inside job. If you want to believe it's an inside job, that's fine. That's up to you. And I fully, accept that you have a right to think that. All I can say is that we investigated the story. We looked into it. We didn't find the evidence that supports that theory. And that's all. There's nothing more to it than that.
Well, you know what? Maybe Paul in Sheffield, it means different. So maybe somebody from London. Born and bred, London, call in, 1-800-259-9231. Let us know, does dropout mean never went to college? Because in my book, that's not what it means, and Paul says you're incorrect. Come on, Guy, we know it's a snipe at Dylan Avery, like he's some gutter snipe miscreant out there rubbing his oily hands together and attacking the beautiful Crown's operation.
Well, I would say on the contrary. We interviewed Dylan for the film, and we showed how his film has had enormous impact, and it's been viewed tens of millions of times all around the world. And we were trying to make a serious point. We were showing how now conspiracy theories can proliferate through the Internet in a way that they couldn't have done in the past.
Do you think there should be some type of regulation to stop this type of hateful spread?
No, not at all. I think it's a very healthy thing for society, and I think it's great that you're talking about it, and that's why I'm very happy to come on your show, because I think it's good that we should talk about all these things. I think that's really important, and that's why we made the program.
Okay, fair enough. Dylan, any other questions? Dylan, any other questions?
Man, Alex, I got tons of questions. My first one is, Guy, your narrator makes a lot of jabs about how we're disrespecting the family members and how we're going to continue to ask questions no matter how much it displeases the victims. Have you ever heard of the Jersey Girls? Maybe the Family Steering Committee? Maybe Bill Doyle? Maybe Bob McElvain? The list of names...
The
really
head
on,
of
man.
The biggest victim's family group who lost his son in the attacks said that he believes it's an inside job. We have the transcript and the audio on PrisonPlanet.com, and he said this last year, and he said that more than half of his members believe it's an inside job. So what do you say to that, Guy?
Well, what I say is that I accept that they have the right to that view. All I can say is that we didn't come to that conclusion. Yes, there'll be many people who are families of victims who support the conspiracy theories, claiming that it was an inside job.
The official story's a conspiracy theory, guy. You claim two passports fell out of the sky at Ground Zero, unburned, and then the FBI had to retract that. They planted those passports.
Well, I haven't seen any evidence to prove that those passports were planted. I've seen lots of theories on the internet.
No, the FBI has now said that they didn't find the passports. You didn't know that?
Well, I think the passports, as I understand it, were found by passers-by and handed in to the FBI.
Oh, my gosh. Just like all the confession letters. Hey, I tried to get you to talk about how the dean of the Defense Language School said three of the hijackers trained in a secret program in 2000 in Monterey, California. I tried to get you to cover Newsweek, where hijackers reportedly trained at the Pensacola Naval Air Station. I tried to get you to interview Mr. Springman, the former head of the U.S. Embassy, who was told let him into the U.S. They're really anti-terror fighters and that their terror designation's a cover. Guy, why didn't that make it in the film?
Well, yeah, there are over 50 different conspiracy theories around 9/11.
They're not. That's admitted, sir. They started court-martialing the head of the Defense Language School until he said he would shut up about it. I talked to him.
What's the bottom line that you're trying to say, Alex? I mean, are you saying that we're part of this conspiracy?
Well, I'm saying that just like people in Russia or Germany or China couldn't believe the government had gone bad, and then later they had to admit it, I think that you have a preconceived notion, a preconceived view, and I'm saying you disregarded most of the key evidence, like 44,000 U.S. troops and 18,000 British troops massed in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan in the 4 months before 9/11, and Newsweek and Associated Press reporting that Bush, the day before the attacks, had the launch orders to attack Afghanistan on his desk.
Well, I mean, it's very difficult to answer some of these points, because what you're doing is you're quoting things that you claim that you've heard, and there's some things that are on the internet. And
no, they're mainstream. Okay, let me stop you right there. What about the two FBI agents that went to prison for insider trading before 9/11?
Well, I don't know the details of that particular story, but I do know that there are a lot of stories that are circulating on the internet that are not based on fact. They're based on supposition.
You're not basing that on fact. You're not giving facts. Let me just go back here. Do you know where the story of the Israelis not being in the building came from? It came from Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post, because Odigo Instant Messaging had said, yes, we got a call that something was going to happen, get our people out of the building, and most 9/11 researchers say that Israel clearly wasn't running the attacks, may have been in some small support role, because MI6, Mossad, Shin Bet, CIA are all joined at the hip. That's a real report that indeed there were warnings. The Arabs weren't in the buildings either, because they had warnings, and there were locals doing insider trading. Everybody seemed to know about it. The buildings were at half capacity that day.
Well, all I can say, Alex, is that that's a view. I don't share that view from the research that we've done.
A view? Are you denying that Odigo's head was in the newspapers in Israel saying they got a warning? Clearly showing they weren't involved, because they were public going, yeah, we got warnings.
I think what you've done here, Alex, is you've raised a very interesting and important point, and that is that much of what is on the internet about 9/11 is based on news reports. Now, those news reports are not necessarily always accurate. What happens, as we've seen with the conspiracy theory alleging that 4,000 Jews didn't turn up for work that day, is that the story gets into the media and then it gets twisted and distorted, like we call in England Chinese whispers, and it just continues and proliferates and becomes more and more complicated. And what we tried to do in our research was to go back to primary sources, to eyewitnesses.
Like Haaretz?
And we presented that information. Now, I fully accept that many people who are listening to your program won't accept that. All I'm asking people to do, I guess, is to you know, watch our program with an open mind and come to their own conclusions. Some people may agree with us and some people may disagree.
Let me get a comment from Paul Watson.
That's a good, healthy debate, you know, in a democratic society.
Sure. Paul Watson, you've got more comments?
Well, Mr. Smith says let people come to their own conclusions. How is that possible when the program is laden with so much bias? We keep hearing this word objective. My question is, how can Mr. Smith justify using the strong implication on numerous occasions throughout the documentary that questioning the official story of 9/11 is insulting and hurtful to the victims? How can he justify such a blatant and cynical attempt to emotionally sway the viewer when we've had Bill Doyle on the program, who's the largest representative, largest group of 9/11 families, and it was a government cover-up in itself in the very hours after 9/11, the result of which now we have a situation where 20% of the first responders are dying from that government cover-up.
And by the way, major medical institutions admit their lungs are full of asbestos and concrete, and we have the internal EPA documents where they were ordered to shut it down and cover it up. That's been in all the major U.S. newspapers, and we were called conspiracy theorists on that. The truth is, every time the government does something wrong, they just say we're conspiracy theorists. Mr. Smith?
Let me go back to the point that Paul was making. Yes, there are some relatives who are very much in favor of what you're doing and suggesting that this is an inside job.
The majority.
But there are also many relatives of victims of 9/11 who find what you're doing deeply abhorrent.
But you claimed it was all of them. You claimed it was, you implied it was all of them.
With the bias.
Well, I didn't imply it was all of them. We said that we have talked to many relatives.
You did imply he's a dropout. You did imply it was all of them. You had some psychological test on there where basically you're a bunch of shut-in nuts, and it's a religion. And you had some fiction writer get up there from The Lone Gunman and The X-Files for the show, the producer, and basically say that it's a religion that we have. No, sir, steel doesn't melt until over 2,700 degrees, and there were people in the wounds of those buildings waving, begging for help, and then giant columns severed right next to them, and then there was molten steel. That's a fact.
Well, I mean, again, I come back to the fundamental point. You're saying that it was an inside job carried out by the American government to start a war for oil in the Middle East and in Asia. And, you know, I hear that view, and I accept that there are many people who believe that view. All I can say is that having looked at the story, having researched the story, having talked to many eyewitnesses...
Those are buzzwords.
We don't come to the same conclusion in our program.
Hey, I played eyewitnesses saying, get back, they're going to blow up the building. And I've got a bunch of other clips I could play. I give the actual witnesses. I give names. We sent you police officers. We sent you people. And you didn't interview them. And you make these large, broad-brush statements about how you've disproven what we've said, and it isn't true.
Does Mr. Smith admit that there was a bias in editing before the editing of his program and that he had already come to the conclusion that he chose to support the side of the debunkers? Does he admit that bias?
Yeah, he told me that at P.F. Chang's restaurant that he didn't agree with me about this stuff. He doesn't agree about Dr.
That's
Kelly.
Bias. That's not balanced. You're held to a higher standard as a BBC journalist to produce a balanced program, and you've already come to a bias before you've even finished the filming. Do you admit that?
We went into this project with an open mind. And let's face it, if supposing during our research we had found that some of these conspiracy theories were true, we would have certainly put that into the film, because actually it would have made a much more dramatic and sensational film. We'd be all over the front page of the newspapers this morning.
Yeah, and then, Blair wouldn't take a bunch of your funding again and make your director resign.
Nobody's trying to censor us, or nobody is.
Oh, everybody knows they've been censoring the BBC.
Look, the 7/7 documentary.
Hell, in your country, they arrested Robin Page for saying that rural communities deserve rights.
I can absolutely give you an assurance that nobody is trying to censor what we were saying in this program. And if we had found through our objective research some evidence to back up the theory that World Trade Center 7 was demolished or United 93 didn't crash at Shanksville, then we would have put that into the program. I mean,
Mr. Smith, your conclusions were not based on the evidence. They were based on portraying Dylan Avery and Alex Jones as a kind of religious cult. You called Alex an evangelical preacher. Basically,
and then you cut to the X-Files guy saying we're a religion.
And you've got a picture
of Jesus. He didn't say you're
a
religion. He was talking about why people believe in conspiracy theories nowadays, and I think he made a very valid point about how in the past we found it difficult to understand what was going on in our world, so we created myths, and now what we are doing is doing much the same sort of thing.
9/11 is a myth. The official story is a fraud, Mr. Smith. It's ridiculous. It's been NIST has given five different reasons Building 7 fell, and now they're saying it could have been because of explosions.
Can I ask you a question, Alex?
Sure.
Now, I hear what you're saying, and there are many people who will agree with you, but some of the people who oppose what you're saying and who disagree with what you're saying may ask this question, and that is, why is it that nobody in the 5 years since 9/11 who is involved in that conspiracy has come forward to admit their part in it?
Because it would only take a few hundred people to run the op. Many people that were involved, I believe they were involved in a simulation. That's how they bootleg it. And they've done this many, many times. Let me give you an example. Stop. Let me answer your question. 5,000 plus U.S. troops died from 1959 to 1964 when the Vietnam War officially kicked off. And they didn't announce until 1965... a year after the war was really on, that thousands had died in covert operations previously. Thousands of U.S. troops have died in Colombia in the last 10 years, and that's only barely come out. Okay? They covered up until they wanted to. 5,000 dead U.S. troops, just like the Russians covered up their true losses in Afghanistan. So don't tell me for a minute they can't keep black ops secret.
I am absolutely convinced that if there was a black ops, as you say, on 9/11, it first of all would have involved not just hundreds but thousands of people. And I'm quite sure that that black ops would have leaked by now. The people, you know, tell their wives, they tell their girlfriends, they tell their priests, they feel guilty about what they've done. This was a black ops operation, if what you say is true, that was against the American people. I'm absolutely certain that that story would have leaked out by now. People would have talked.
It has been leaking with firefighters and police talking about how they were told to get back, that they were going to blow up Building 7. And more is going to leak. And people like Sybil Edmonds, who want to talk, have been gagged. And FBI agent Robert Wright has been told he'll be arrested if he tells people what he knows. All he said is the Bush's vacation with the Bin Laden.
It's here after a year in production and traveling to distant lands. My new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hey ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products in education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine,
but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondent Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Guy Smith, I only have one more question for you, and then Paul's got a question, and Dylan does. We appreciate you spending an hour with us, and we want you to know that we see what the piece did, tugging on the heartstrings. Oh, look how we're putting all this out. It's not going to work. We're going to totally dissect it 110%. But you didn't get into Pakistan ISI. You didn't get into the $100,000 wired to Muhammad Atta. You didn't cover any of that. And people are going to look at that. So are you a little concerned now over the huge furor this has created, or do you like it?
No, not at all. I think it's great that people are discussing this subject, and it's a really good thing that people are coming to their own conclusions. And I absolutely accept that many people will believe that there are conspiracy theories that are true, and that's good. That's fine. You know,
you keep using that little pacifier, your blanket, that it's a conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory. No, corruption and evil in the global empire. Do you believe there's a one world government being formed? Do you even know that's real?
Well, I don't know whether there's a one-world government being formed or not. The brief of our program was to look at what happened at 9/11.
Yeah, but I had dinner with you. You don't think Dr. Kelly was killed even when he said he was. You don't think Diana was killed by the government even when she said. I mean, she said, Charles says he's going to kill me in a fake auto accident, and you just poo-poo that. I mean, that'd be like if I said, Billy Bob says he's going to kill me with a battle axe, and I'm killed a week later, and people saw Billy Bob walking away. Oh, no, Billy Bob's not involved. Let's go ahead and go to Paul. Paul, quickly, fire your final questions at his lordship.
Well, in a sense, Mr. Smith tags us with the label of conspiracy theorists when he supports the official conspiracy theory. And in doing so, he uses a sole clip of a firefighter on 9/11 discussing damage to Building 7 sprinkler system, while omitting literally dozens and dozens of reports, both footage and from the official firefighter tapes, who reported bombs at all levels of the Twin Towers and Building 7, and that is not part of his documentary, which suggests clear bias, because he's using individual clips to...
Yeah, he keeps saying, show evidence, we show it, and then he ignores it.
The evidence that we presented in the program is the evidence that we believe to be credible. There are many stories that World Trade Center 7 was demolished by explosives. I have yet to see any credible evidence that stands that theory up.
So just the as I have yet to see any bombs is not credible. You didn't even mention it. You didn't even mention it. No, you didn't even have to conclude that it was right. You could have just mentioned it. But it's not a balanced piece, Guy. It's a biased piece. And everyone can see that.
Well, it's interesting because as well as hearing from the likes of you, I've also had many emails and calls from people who are saying that we're giving too much airtime to the conspiracy theories. So I guess, you know, it's like one can't please everyone all the time.
No, we understand, and I appreciate you at least coming on this show. Real fast, Dylan Avery, final question.
Yeah, you know, throughout the documentary and throughout this interview, Guy talks a lot about following the evidence and how he feels that he covers the 9/11 truth movement, when in reality, as you mentioned, Alex, there was a glaring omission from this BBC documentary that any objective documentary would have covered. Although he lauded the fact that two of the hijackers lived with a tested FBI informant, he refused to ask Senator Bob Graham why, on the morning of 9/11, he was meeting with George Tenet of the CIA and the head of the Pakistani ISI, who had wired Muhammad Atta, the lead hijacker, $100,000 right before the attacks.
Yeah, the role of the Pakistani ISI is a fascinating story, and that's actually something that we could well be returning to in another program. We might be making a whole program about that connection between Pakistan and the hijackers.
Getting another bucket of white paint out for that, huh?
I'd say watch this space, because that is a very interesting story.
Guy Smith, I appreciate you spending time with us, and I hope to get you back up in the future in the next few months as this develops. Can we have you back on?
Yeah, I'll be happy to come back on. And I think if I can just say one final thing very quickly, and that is the good thing that it's great to talk about these subjects. It's great to air different points of view.
It is. I appreciate you coming on. It's good to get us thinking. I want to thank Paul Watson, Dylan Avery. We'll be back tonight, 9 to midnight. Back tomorrow, 11 to 2. PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. Google Terror Storm. Terror Storm.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.